How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
And we're live. Welcome everybody to this latest edition of the Locked On Lakers show, live edition. You can follow all of our shows on Audioboom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and today's Fast Break. Make sure you're using promo codes LOLakers for both Mack Weldon and SeatGeek. Today's show, so we were going to go live with Harrison and myself, but Google Hangouts and YouTube is having technical difficulties, so you guys are just kind of stuck with me. The Lakers lost tonight, and they lost big, but I am not nearly as interested in the actual game that they played tonight. And trust me, the next four, starting tonight, the four games that they're going to go on in this little run that they're on, they play four games in five nights starting tonight. It is not going to be pretty, I don't think, because of the number of injuries they have. And what I'm going to talk to everybody about today or tonight is I think it might be time for Luke Walton to stop prioritizing the bench the way he is right now. He is focused on not losing the chemistry that they have and what it keeps on doing right now because they don't have the kind of talent in their starting five that you can just make up for with a bench. What this has done is they're starting all these games, ugly or down by 7 to 12, whatever points. Tonight, Nick Young got hurt, and it happened while the Lakers were already down, and then you could just kind of see the effect it had on the rest of the team. So what I think the Lakers might need to think about doing, what I think Luke Walton might need to think about doing, is inserting some of his bench guys into that starting lineup because I'll put it like this. The Lakers are good right now, or they were good with their bench, because across the board, they're roughly the same level of talent, right? So it's just about finding the best unit that you can put together there and then making sure that that unit is up against the other team's least effective units, typically the other team's benches, right? So if you are Luke Walton and you have a nice deep roster of guys who aren't who are all healthy, you can get away with somewhat slow starts to make up for it with that really good lineup against the other team's not so good lineup, and that is not what's happening anymore because that starting unit isn't as good when you don't have D'Angelo Russell in it and he's replaced by Jose Calderon. And then when, right now Nick Young just got hurt, and Nick Young's going to be replaced by who knows whom. I heard some other people saying Marcelo Huerta should move into the starting unit. That doesn't make any sense. Look, having a nice bench is nice when, you can make it work. But right now with the starters that the Lakers have right now, they can't make it work as Luke would like to, or the Lakers would like to be able to make that happen. So I do anticipate, I'd like to see Jordan Clarkson out there in the starting unit. I'd like to see, last time two starters went down, I believe Brandon Ingram made his way into the starting unit, but I think you need to do better than Brandon Ingram because he's kind of up and down. His shooting has been up and down. I think I saw heading into tonight, he was shooting 22% from three-point range, and then The first nine games, he was shooting 22% from three. The last nine games, not including tonight, he was shooting 37% from three. So that's kind of up and down. And what the Lakers kind of need is some kind of consistency to kind of tread waters while these guys get healthy again. D'Angelo Russell still seems like he's a good week away from getting better. Nick Young, I would imagine, he strained his Achilles, according to the Lakers. He was up and walking, so I don't think it's a fully, it's a full-blown tear. But even still, a strained Achilles is going to keep you out, a few weeks, I think Dr. Clapper said earlier tonight. So that's, that's going to hurt. Julius Randle was kind of dinged up as the game was kind of going along tonight. He had the hip pointer. He came back. Tonight was his birthday. He comes back. He played well, but he had a scary play tonight where his right knee kind of jammed not into the floor, but it just kind of jammed on him. So as these injuries continue to mount up and as the Lakers wait for these guys to come back, I think Luke Walton kind of needs to make some kind of adjustment here. But as this season has kind of gone, I can be 100% wrong right now. He could keep it the same, and the Lakers could go on and win whatever game they play next. These slow starts are tough on a team that is hurting in terms of talent right now. And at some point, something kind of needs to be done. And I think with Nick Young looking like he's going to miss quite a bit of time, at least a couple weeks, I would imagine. This seems like that time is now, and that's not to overlook what the bench has done to this point. They've been the best bench in the NBA. They are super explosive, asking them to continue to bring you back from 14 points down, from 13, from 12, from 20, whatever it might be. Asking them to continue to do that for you seems like a recipe for not disaster, but definitely rough waters. So I think that I wouldn't be surprised if Luke Walton winds up making some kind of change there. Jamal Robbins asks, JC should start in Uncle P's absence. Do I agree? Yep, that's who I said. That's who I'd like to see get a little bit more creativity with the ball out there. The one thing that I liked from the starters earlier this year was D'Angelo Russell could create off of the pick and roll, and Julius Randle could create in various spots on the court. And having two guys out there on the court who can create makes your offense a little bit tougher to guard. Jordan Clarkson is not the passer D'Angelo Russell might be, but he can at least create for himself. You watch Jose Calderon out there, and he flat out cannot create for himself. He's trying to turn the corner on screens even, and he's getting bumped off track by hedgers. He's getting arm guarded off of the angle he wants to take on the screen. It hasn't been very pretty. He's managing the game pretty well, but I feel like there's still plenty that Jordan Clarkson can bring to the table. Or if not Jordan Clarkson, Lou Williams, who has been able to create for others this season. But they need more creativity in that starting lineup than they have currently right now. Nuno Martin says, start the bench the starters. I don't think that'd quite work, but who knows. Tony Tionco says, we need them back soon. Unhappy face. Turn that frown upside down. They'll be back. And really, the Lakers are right now, they're at, I think, 9 wins still, right? I think they headed into this game 9-9. It took the Lakers till January to get where they are right now in terms of win total last year. I'm still enjoying this season. There are frustrating moments, but look on the bright side. They beat Dwight Howard, and he almost got into a fight with a fan, so that's kind of cool. So what we're going to do right now, Harrison does want to talk about the Lakers. We haven't done a show in a little while. And again, you can find that show on Audio Boom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Today's Fast Break. we haven't done a regular show in quite a little while. My wife is actually a physical therapist, so she might come on and explain how Nick Young's injury is going to affect his ability to play, how long she thinks it might hold him out for compared to other such Achilles strains. And so that'll be a fun little tidbit. Make sure you guys listen to that. And then after that, Harrison, I've been on the road for the last few days. Harrison is going to walk me through what I might have missed while I was on the road. So that'll be fun. We have a couple. We have a 50 Shades of Shade that we want to do there. We have a bunch to catch up on. Make sure you're following the show on all those outlets that I told you about earlier. Make sure you're using the promo codes that I told you about earlier. And I will talk to everybody soon. Keep your heads up, everybody. Tonight sucked. And the next, you know, 3-4 games are probably going to suck. But at the end of the day, the Lakers are in a much better place right now than we thought they would be heading into the season. And good news, I see Mark Medina just tweeted out, Young walked around in the locker room, and Walton said he hasn't been officially ruled out to play tomorrow, but MRI will yield more clarity. If they're already talking about him playing tomorrow, God just miraculously fixed. Tim Tebow walked in and fixed Nick Young's Achilles. So thank goodness for that. and then Robert Idoliante says front office might have to look for a trade. Dang for living. Dang has no trade value right now. He's owed $72 bajillion and he is playing like a corpse out there. So that's not great for him. Again, I'll talk to everybody here in a second. All right, so we're joined now by Dr. Jennifer Irwin from Corey and Bueller Physical Therapy. She has her doctorates in physical therapy. She's also my wife. She's my boss. Like, I don't get to do anything, say anything on the show, go anywhere unless I get permission from the boss. She joins us tonight.
Wait, but Anthony, I thought we were trying to play up her expertise, but we just, like, clearly demonstrated that she's mistake-prone.
You know, her character could, you know, her judgment could be a little bit better considering the dude she married, but here we are. We're gonna
turning back now.
we're here to talk to Jen about Swaggy P's broken wheel. He strained his Achilles at least tonight. They're going to run an MRI on it tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. It sounds a little bit more promising. After the game, we got an update that he walked out of the arena, but mm-hmm. it still, like, that was not great. He couldn't walk off the floor during the game.
Yeah, he couldn't. So basically, Jen, you haven't seen the play yet, but he got turned around in transition. He went to jump, and either he kind of strained it on the jump because he was off balance. Mm-hmm. I knew it wasn't an ankle thing because there was never anything there. And then also immediately when he went to the sideline, the head physical therapist there, it's Marco Nunez, immediately started rubbing like the lower calf kind of area there.
Yeah.
And I knew it couldn't have been an ankle thing given that, you know, he didn't actually turn an ankle that I saw.
Right.
And then he never at no point was messing with his ankle. And then eventually the Lakers wound up making the announcement that it was a strained Achilles and that they're going to do an MRI tomorrow about it. Pretty great. Paul Pierce just missed a dunk in the background while we're recording this. So that's pretty great. So first, I guess the first question that's on everybody's mind is how long does the typical strained Achilles take to heal?
Well, it really depends on how bad the strain is. I mean, if it's just a, you know, really simple strain, probably about 4 weeks. That's what I would say at the most. Mm-hmm. But then again, this is a professional athlete. They do tend to push their athletes pretty hard. So if I had to bet on it, I would probably say probably back in about a week to 2 weeks.
That's and Harrison, I think, did you see the Mark Medina tweet saying that, you know, Luke wasn't going to
they officially are not ruling him out for tomorrow.
That's insane.
Like they aren't going to officially rule him out for tomorrow. So Jen, Dr. Jen, I wanted to ask you, if he's walking around after the game and he walks out, is that the quickest recovery from a strained Achilles in world history?
No. Usually, if it's, like I said, if it's a light strain, you can walk on that. I mean, gosh, Kobe tore his Achilles almost completely off the bone and he was walking. So, and you also have to remember that these athletes have an extreme amount of adrenaline going too. And so that can cause, you know, you to walk on any tear. So the fact that he's walking, I wouldn't put, you know, a thumbs up or a thumbs down on that. I mean, we'll really have to wait until what the MRI says, what the physical therapist says, and how he's feeling too.
And he also tried to walk. He was walking around the locker room, I guess, without a boot. But then mm-hmm. they wound up putting a boot on him as he walked out of the arena completely. So, like, I actually think the adrenaline part is something that people don't quite take into account a lot of times. Is, you know, you were an athlete, I was an athlete. Mm-hmm. Harrison, I don't think you were ever an athlete. But, like, when you get hurt, you have all that adrenaline pumping. You think to yourself, okay, yeah, I can go. I've had, you know, we've all had the slight ankle tweaks where you just tie your shoes a little bit tighter and you think you can go, and then you wake up the next day and you have a club down there for a foot.
Yeah, and I mean, you see, like, these professional football players too, right? I mean, they're tearing their ACLs and walking off the field too. So, yeah the fact that Swaggy P was walking, it doesn't really give, like, an official prognosis.
I just
hold
on, Harrison. We can't pass up the fact that a doctor is on our show and she just said the word Swaggy P. Okay.
All right. Has another name.
All right. So what were you saying, Harrison?
I'll have you know, I finished a pickup game with a broken wrist once. So
you're a hero, Harrison.
I shot with it.
You live to tell the tale.
It's probably not the best sign that none of your teammates realized there was any difference when you shot with a broken wrist.
Okay, rude, but fair.
Harrison, do you have anything else before we let Jen get back to dinner? She's pinching me under the table.
Right? Okay, so no, just really quickly, Dr. Jen, before you leave, mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you, as far as treatment, do you just tell, like, is there a plan that you would give him, or do you just tell him to man up?
Oh, I would never, I mean, unless it was Fred on my table, I would never tell a man to man up. But it honestly, when it comes to physical therapy, the biggest thing that you have to know is you treat the deficits, right? So if his Achilles was torn, it could have been torn because he had a really stiff ankle. It could have been torn because he doesn't use his calf muscle efficiently. It could have been torn for multiple reasons. So what you have to do is you have to investigate what is causing the Achilles to tear, and then you treat according to that. My guess is that what I see a lot with the basketball players that I treat is that these guys just don't stretch. They don't stretch, and then what happens is that they put excessive amount of stretch on that Achilles and put a lot of force through that Achilles when they go to jump up as high as they do, and then that's what causes it to tear. So I'm guessing that what he's going to be working on throughout the first bouts in his treatment, he's going to be doing a lot of stretching. They're going to be doing a lot of stretching on that Achilles and then slowly getting his strength back. I mean, that's what I would do if it were my patient. But then again, this is a professional athlete, and he's probably going to play tomorrow. So,
and just to be clear, you're saying tear because strain just means a very small tear, right?
Well, yeah. So strain is such a broad term. And when it comes to tears, you have three to four grades of tears, usually three. A grade one tear is just like, oh, I just pulled my calf, but I'll be back tomorrow. Grade two, you're going to be out for a couple of weeks. And then a grade three is pretty much what Kobe had, where you have to go under the knife. So I say tear, but strain, tear, it's pretty much the same thing right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, that was actually going to be my follow-up, just to make sure that mm-hmm. everybody was clear who was listening there. Yeah. And then lastly, when it comes to the treatment, when it comes to what he's going to be going through, mm-hmm. is there any kind of practice that he'll be able to, like, we all know he might be able to do some ball handling and stuff like mm-hmm. that, but shooting is going to be kind of tough because you don't want to put that kind of weight of just even going up on your toes to shoot, right?
Right. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily put him into shooting three-pointers right now, but as far as getting him back into the game, doing some light jogging, some layups, shooting from the free throw line, shots while still maintaining your toes in contact with the ground, I would definitely not start him off with jumping right now. You need to give that Achilles time to heal. I mean, this Achilles is going to be inflamed for at least 3 days.
And people don't realize how much you use your Achilles for. Like, anybody who's ever strained their Achilles is kind of wincing right now, thinking it, like, back at that pain. It's a really annoying injury to have.
It is, and it can take a long time for it to heal properly, but I emphasize the word properly, and we don't get that a lot with professional athletes.
Absolutely. All right, so that was Dr. Jennifer Irwin, my boss. Sorry, David, she is my actual boss. We will try to bring you on every so often, and if you're okay to it.
Yeah,
hey,
definitely.
Hopefully not that often.
Yes, that's a good point.
I know.
Yeah, I agree. It's been too often lately that we've had to talk about injuries with the Lakers. So fingers crossed that it is just, you know, closer to a grade one than a grade two. And Nick Young is ready to go sooner than later. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Jen.
All right, thank you very much.
All right, so that was my wife. That was the person. That was Robert Sakwe for the fans from way back in the day. She had a lot of good information there about the Achilles and the healing process that we might be looking at for Nick Young. We have our fingers crossed that we're looking at something closer to a grade two sprain instead of a grade one sprain instead of a grade two. Let's get that right. Jen's still giving us information in the background over here. So the way this is going to work, I have been on the road. My brother and sister-in-law moved out to Austin. I drove out there to Austin with them. It was only, 20 hours or so of nothing but desert. So that was pleasant. And then I got back late last night. I haven't been able to pay too much attention to the NBA or the Lakers, or not nearly as much as I usually do. So what we're going to do is, Harrison, you're going to sum up. You're going to mention as many key points that I might have missed, and then I'll give my spin on them as they come. And like I said, I don't read as it is, so this could be really interesting.
Yeah, this could actually be really interesting now that I'm realizing that. So... that means that you did not see which games. You've been gone since Friday, right? So you didn't see the second game against the Warriors?
I definitely did not see that one. I actually was able to watch... I watched the Lakers play the Hawks. I watched the Lakers play the Hawks in Austin next to some dude from New Zealand. And I never actually caught his name, or maybe I did and I'm terrible with names, but shouts to this dude from New Zealand. He was a blast.
Okay. that threw me off a little bit, but I'll try and recover. All right, so then you saw the game against Atlanta. You saw how good the bench was in that game. We're actually going to talk about the bench in a minute here, mm-hmm. but there was a report that Phil Jackson might be interested in returning again. So we got our latest report on Phil Jackson being interested in returning.
Was that an actual report, or was that Mark Heisler just being an old guy?
I mean, he kind of made it sound like his phrasing made it sound like it was kind of a report.
So here's my thing. I like Heisler a lot. Like he was the guy I read when I was growing back when I actually read, like I read Heisler a bunch, and look, I see writing as any other thing in a human being's life. You kind of start losing it a bit, and I think he kind of lost it, 5 years ago. Phil Jackson is not coming to the Lakers. Phil Jackson is almost – he's not an unmitigated disaster, but he's something close. Like he is a disaster out there in New York. There was a report today that initially it looked like – they were talking about an extension, and then then Matt kind of rephrased how he was, plugging the article. But basically, it's exactly what we were all saw coming with Derrick Rose was, all right, if you trade for him, if you give up assets for him, you're kind of sort of hoping that he stinks so that you don't, find yourself in a situation where you have to give out a extension to this guy. Because he's going to break down eventually. And even with him not breaking down, he hasn't been good this year. He hasn't, Derrick Rose has been okay. He's been better than he's been in the last 5 years or whatever, but he hasn't been good, not by any stretch, and definitely not by former MVP extent. So,
wow, it really it's been 5 years since he won that MVP. That's crazy. That just hit me right now.
That's insane, right? And that means, like, by the time let's say he does sign an extension at a lower rate, because that's why the Knicks would do an extension. If it's like a 3-year close to the max extension, he's going to be like 33, I think, by the time that thing ends. And he already doesn't look that good. he's not going to look good in a couple of years. Like, we're making fun of the Luol Deng thing, but this isn't going to be much better if he does wind up signing another deal. So I kind of ranted about that a little bit, but yes, please stop bringing up Phil Jackson. And I'm sorry, Mark Heisler, that I called you washed up 5 years ago.
Yeah. So I don't know. You might have missed Luke Walton saying that the Lakers road trip schedule doesn't make any sense.
Oh, yeah. I actually saw that headline. I didn't have too much service in the middle of the desert. But I saw the headline, and actually I tried reading it, but then my phone kind of cut out. He's right to be upset about it. Playing four games.
So I did the interactive map for Silver Screen and Roll.
That's
and,
what I saw. Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, because you don't read, but the Lakers fly over Memphis on their way from New Orleans to Chicago, and then they fly from Chicago to Toronto and then back down to Memphis. Yeah. For over 5 days with a right. team that is, I'm pretty sure, close to like dying, you know, right. they're dropping like flies here.
And that's what really hurts about Nick Young going down right now, right? It'd be one thing if they had to deal four games and five nights with, you know, maybe a starter missing time, but now you're talking about D'Angelo
your
Russell.
Whole starting backcourt.
Well, you have the starting backcourt, and Julius Randle tonight, like there was the scary moment with his right knee, and he's dealing. He just got back tonight from that hip pointer thing. So there's a unfortunately, knock on wood, but there's a chance out there that he aggravates either the knee thing, that maybe he wakes up and that doesn't feel very good tomorrow, or the hip pointer thing jumps back up after playing a night, and you wake up the next day and you're sore. Look. At this point, in 2016, teams should not be playing four games in five nights. Knowing what we know now, like...
It's down. From two sure. years ago, there were over 60 instances of it, which is insane, to this year, there's 21. So no team does it more than once, at least.
Right, but this might, you know, lack nuance completely, and I have no problem with it lacking nuance completely, but it shouldn't happen at all.
No, just extend the season a week.
Yeah.
That's all it takes.
Yeah.
And you get rid of that problem.
Right. Baxter Holmes has written a few good things, and it seems like something he's really focused on, and maybe next time we bring him on, we'll talk to him about the schedule, you know, maladies.
That would be something that's also a very real problem for journalists that travel with the team. So I feel him on that one.
But as of right now, what I'm watching with this is just because an athlete technically can stand up, you know, they can stand vertically unless you're Roy Hibbert. You can stand vertically on a basketball court after playing, you know, your fourth game in five nights. You can be there and you can breathe and walk and all those things as anybody else can, but at the end of the day, like it's an entertainment league, and it hurts the entertainment value if you're doing something with the scheduling of these games that affects these guys playing, you know, throughout the year. So I don't know.
Yeah.
it's not great. It's in fact it's really dumb, you know, and like nobody cares about my fantasy team. I'm not doing that at all right now, I promise. But what I am going to say is, like, you look at fantasy teams across the thing, and you have at least one guy, you know, if not more probably, on every single team, every single fantasy team across the country has some guy, like, day-to-day or just outright out, you know. And the NBA is a star-studded league. You want these stars to be playing. It's the problem the NFL runs into. You look at across, you know, running backs, they drop like flies. That's not good for anybody to watch, you know. And,
nope.
And you know, if you sign up, let's say you sign up, you buy your tickets to go watch the Memphis Grizzlies play the Lakers on Saturday. And right before, you know, as this happens, now we find out that Mike Conley is going to be out for, it sounds like 6 weeks, you know. And D'Angelo Russell is not going to be there. And that's a really fun matchup that nobody's going to be able to watch. And it's because the league is really stupid about the wear and tear they put on these guys. So that's the end of my rant.
All right. Well, I think you had another rant queued up about the Lakers bench.
All right. This is something, this is more of a theory. This is something that I, when you're on the road, for as long as we're on the road, you do a lot of thinking. And the Lakers bench being better than the starters makes a ton of sense when you think of it this way. And I don't know the actual NBA 2K ratings from the Lakers, you know, across the board.
Oh, here we go. This should be a fun theory.
But I would imagine there isn't much, like the median isn't that far off from the extents of the sample size of the Lakers ratings, right? So like if the Lakers best player, their highest rated player is, we'll say, D'Angelo Russell.
D'Angelo.
So if he's their highest rated player and he's at, say, I don't know it, again, I haven't played any 2K in a few years. Sorry, Chris. But if his rating is at, say, 83.
He's a 79.
All right, so if he's a 79.
Or he was before the year started.
If he's a 79 and the next best guy is, I would imagine, Julius Randle, he's about a 78, maybe a 77.
I believe him and Clarkson were 78s or 72s or something.
And so as you go down the board, like I would imagine the Lakers have a whole bunch of guys in that 79 to, we'll say, 73 range, right? And if that's where the entire roster is sitting at, what you want to do is you figure out the absolute best lineup that the Lakers can put together, featuring their, you know, the, whether it's, you know, you take chemistry into account, you take fit in terms of playing style into account, you figure out your absolute best lineup, and what you do is you put that up against the other team's worst lineup, which tends to be their bench, right? And you hope to tread water while, you know, this lineup of, it's not like they have slouches out there with the starters. But what you try to do is you try to keep it close with the starters, and then when the bench comes in, you have one of the best lineups in the entire league. You have one of the best lineups in the entire league going up against some of the other, you know, some of the non-best lineups in the league, and that's where you make, you know, the runs that the Lakers have made using their bench. Does this sound insane to you?
No, I think it's absolutely legit, and I think that the Lakers, they don't start all of their best players, as evidenced by the fact that they're starting Lou Aldang. And you know, I think so far this year, you know, if you're just looking at pure production, Russell and Clarkson have both been better than, Lou and Clarkson mm-hmm. have both been better than Nick Young, even as helpful as Nick Young has been.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the Lakers aren't necessarily starting all of their best players.
Right. And so,
That lineup, just by, even by virtue, even if we aren't willing to concede that the bench lineup is better, if we just say that it's similarly talented,
yes,
of course, if the Lakers starting lineup is already the plus in kind of aggregate, you know, points per 100 possessions, the Lakers bench is going to be way better because they're playing against way less talented players most of the time. Now, mm-hmm. That's not to disparage them. They've played against other team starters at times and done very well, but they haven't done as well as they've done against other teams, you know, end of rotation guys.
Right. Yeah. You look at minutes that say like Russell Westbrook isn't on the court, right? And those minutes are already going to be bad for the Thunder. So what you do if you're the Lakers is you try to maximize your production in those minutes, and you hope that while Russell Westbrook is on the court, you can kind of tread water while he's out there until he has to sit again, you know. And these best lineups that the league has to offer, the best players that the league has to offer, they don't play 48 minutes. So you're hoping that, you know, if the average bet, you know, really good player plays, let's say, 36 minutes for the 36 number, the per 36 minute numbers. Let's say that they play those 36 minutes. You're hoping that in those 12 minutes, and that's essentially a full quarter, that your bench, or what looks like the Lakers' best lineup, comes in and runs that whoever they are playing completely off of the court to make up for whatever, you know, those superstars do bring when your starters are in there. So,
yep, that's something that Chris and I talked about and that Gary and I have talked about. So I'm glad to know you're listening to the show.
But to take the next step in this, now that Nick Young is out and now that
most likely, hey, Nick Young could be Superman. We don't know.
We had Superman on our team before, and that sucked having to watch Dwight Howard.
Oh, zing.
Mm-hmm, bang. But, you know, let's say hypothetically Nick Young misses time or whatever. We're getting to that point now where I think that that strategy isn't going to work out because the starting lineup no longer is...
Huertas is going to be starting if they decide to avoid... if they're so desperate to avoid breaking this bench up. Our backcourt, our starting backcourt, the Lakers starting backcourt, it'll be Calderon, Huertas, and then Deng, Mozgov, and Randle. Like, Julius Randle needs to, like, go on strike if Luke Walton tries to throw that lineup out there. Like,
he's just going to give himself another hit pointer. He needs to be like,
nah, coach, I'm out. I can't play. I can't play tonight.
Yep, that's what I'm thinking. So, yes, I would say because of what you just talked about, it is time to kind of switch up.
And to be fair to Luke, he did against the Warriors, and it got nuked. But that's, I mean, they were playing the Warriors, yeah, so
I think the Warriors are on a 12-game losing or winning streak right now, right?
Yeah, yeah, something like that.
They're world beaters right now.
Okay.
All right. So that was my rant on the bench.
I think you have a good point, and I agree. It's if Nick Young is out, it's time to break up the bench for sure. You can't keep that line, or start the bench and bring Deng and Mozgov off of the bench.
You know, somebody said that in my. I just did the Facebook Live, and somebody said that the Lakers should do that. So
I mean, that's what you have to. If you are so desperate to keep that lineup together, you need to start them.
Yeah. All right. Let's go ahead. That was a lot of serious talk. That was a lot of ranting. That was me standing on my soapbox for way too long. Let's go ahead and end this with some humor. Yeah, you said that we had a pretty good 50 Shades of Shade while I was out.
Yeah, we do. And the best thing is it's from 2 days ago, so it's super relevant for us. And no, so all right. So are you ready for this? You're ready to give it the shade meter?
I'm looking
just
forward
for
to
the,
it.
For anyone that's a new listener, 50 Shades of Shade is when we rank how much shade out of 50 shades of it that a player appears to possibly be throwing at the Lakers' former coach from last year. And so... we got a quote here from Tarik Black, and this is from at Ryan Ward LA, and he said, Tarik Black on what changed from last year. We have a new culture because of the new coach that we have, and guys like myself are maturing.
That was a good save at the very end. Like, could you just you do that face sometimes where I'll go off on a tangent that you don't know where it's necessarily leading to, and your eyes get really big. It's
so
like,
once an episode.
It's. I could just see you once he says when he says the first half of that quote, you know, because of this new coach that we have in there. I could just see your eyes go, "Oh my God, what?" You know, and then he kind of sees that and he says, "Oh yeah, also we've matured a little bit too, like that." That
yeah. Also, we've gotten, I guess, a little bit better, kind of maybe.
Yeah. This is a 50. This is like 150.
Yeah, I mean, because of the new coach that we have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I really wish you would have mentioned the last guy by name. Like, because that other guy isn't around.
Yeah.
Exactly. Also, we're a little bit more mature, but mostly because that other guy isn't around.
Yeah.
All right. So this was a slightly jumbled episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Remember, you can follow us on Audioboom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and today's Fast Break. Make sure you're using the promo code LOLakers for both Mac Weldon and SeatGeek to get
and
you.
BetDSI.
Well, no, because that's Lakers 10. BetDSI is Lakers
10.
Oh,
yeah. Excuse me. My bad.
I got you. This is why I had to come back. Like, I had enough people telling me, like, hey, guys, like, Where's the other guy?
Hey, Anthony, the live reads are rough with Harrison there.
Make sure you're using those promo codes. Make sure you're following the show where I told you to follow it. Fun episode today. I did my little, you know, mini rant at the beginning of the show to wrap up the game. We had my wife on to talk about Nick Young's injury. We'll have more of that as the year goes along. I twisted her arm.
Hopefully
a little
not.
Bit
but
to go on.
Yeah, if anyone else gets hurt, then we'll bring Dr. Jen back.
We could always just bring Dr. Jen back to tell stories of what it's like to be married to my dumbass.
All right, let's do it.
and then you just heard the last, you know, 20 minutes of this one. So I hope everybody enjoyed this. It's nice to be back. Thank you for people who, you know, somebody offered to take me out for beer and barbecue out there in Austin. I'm sorry I wasn't able to respond to that. There was some random person recognized me in a hotel in Fort Stockton. So Laker fans, you guys are the best. And if you're listening to the show, you are absolutely the best of the best Laker fans out there. Tell your friends.
Tell your friends that they aren't as good of Laker fans as you until they listen to Locked On Lakers.
Absolutely. We will talk to everybody tomorrow. I will have another guest on the show because Harrison is a slacker.
Hey, man, finals are coming up. It's been rough for me. We're almost through it.
We're almost through it. All right, we'll talk to everybody tomorrow. Have a good one.
All right, thanks, Anthony.
Shouts to Sustail 3.